Welcome back to the Unveiled Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Murphy, and today I'm sitting with Dr. Leslie Wells. She is the founder of Faith Consciousness, a global awakening that invites us to stop negotiating with fear and doubt and to start realizing that there is a guided path that we can follow.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you for being with us, Dr. Leslie.
It's a joy to be here, Megan. It's awesome.
This is like a full circle moment for me, you know, because I've imagined me interviewing you on this very thing for the last 6 years. I didn't know what I was going to be doing or, you know, what it was, but now we're here and in this moment, and I just thank you, and it's awesome that we get to do this together.
So, I agree. Yeah. I agree. And I love how life brings us those little foreshadowings, you know, of like something's to come, but I don't really know exactly what it is yet.
Little breadcrumbs, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And honestly, you're the one who introduced me to this whole concept of a guided life. Mm-hmm. You sometimes explain it as the magic carpet ride life, right?
Yeah.
And I just got chills. I am just now starting to allow myself to get on this magic carpet ride life the past year, listening to the guidance, right? And actually following through with moving with it. So to the newbie, how would you describe what faith consciousness is? Is it a lifestyle? Is it a frequency? What is it?
It's both voice? Of those. I was going to say, whatever she says, I'm going to say all of the above.
That's what I was thinking.
So for those who are familiar with that concept of frequency, of vibrational frequency, and I guess if we just start at the basic level there, we know that over 100 years ago, Albert Einstein showed the world that this is an energetic reality, okay? Mm-hmm. Everything, even this chair I'm sitting on, this table here, even our physical bodies, they're mostly empty space, okay? Yeah. Subatomic particles and waves, we are energy. This whole world we live in is energy. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about frequency, we're actually describing, in essence, we're using a scientific definition of what I would also call consciousness, okay? Mm-hmm. So a lower frequency involves in it negative emotion, sadness, and what I would translate as the hell frequency or the anti-God frequency, okay? Mm-hmm. And a higher frequency brings us to what we experience or would imagine as heaven. A heavenly experience is all the way at the top, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there's a range between those two, and we're navigating that range every day in this world. And faith consciousness, if we called it a frequency, and it is, it's a range within all of that potential that is the range in which we realize how we are able to take the steering wheel of life and be directors of it, co-joined with our source. Now, I have chills, mm-hmm. okay? We become able to even touch on the beginnings of a comprehension of navigating life in oneness with that all that isness from which we come. Mm. And faith consciousness is when we move into that realm of navigating not as life is happening to me and everything's out there and I'm trying to figure out how to outsmart or shortcut the path of potential suffering, mm-hmm. or just defend myself from all those potential things that could happen out there. And even beyond an understanding of, I feel kind of powerless, but I'm believing now that there's a higher plan for all this, mm-hmm. into the highest level that we're here to experience on Earth as a human race, which is ultimately co-joined with the consciousness, with the mind of God, okay? And seeing ourselves as vessels of that and understanding that we can take dominion and authority not in an egoic or demanding way, but we can move into alignment and harmony with the quantum field, with the field of all potentiality, and thought by thought, we can actually move that steering wheel in beautiful ways. And I'll say not just thought by thought, but inspiration by inspiration.
I was going to say feeling by feeling.
Right? Even, yeah. Yes, yes. That we can move into that place where our motto is life happens through me. And then we're not pointing at things out there to blame or to feel victimized by. We're turning inward if we want to see life differently and saying, where can I attune into this next higher place, this next more joyful experience?
So it, to me, it seems like it's not like that superficial manifesting anymore.
Well, you know, it is the story of faith consciousness is really the story of human consciousness evolution.
Yeah.
And faith consciousness is the third era. We just moved into this era in 2012.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it is the next higher level of dwelling and communing with ourselves, with each other, and with the divine, or that which we call God. Okay. And a new way of dwelling with potentials of life, how to navigate and co-create, different than, as you said, manifesting.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you don't mind, I'd love to explain that at the beginnings of the human journey, we felt completely powerless. Okay. We came in here in infancy consciousness and felt kind of victimized by everything. Life happens to me. Okay. When we matured enough, and I'd love to get more into that,
yes,
you know, in a little
please.
Bit. But when we matured enough, we came to a place of beginning to feel like, hey, you know, maybe I have some say.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not just a victim. And I notice that when I do this, that happens. So notice when I say that. We are wired to be observing and learning and understanding cause and effect. Okay. So toddlers, their nervous systems are learning cause and effect. Oh, when I stand up, when I lean this way, I fall down. So the nervous system is learning when this, then that. Okay. It's the nature of life itself, and it's how we evolve. And we go deeper and deeper in understanding the more and more accurate answer of what is cause to the effects of my life. Okay. Well, when we're kind of midway through that journey, we begin to realize, you know what, if I set a goal and I write it down, and actually I break it down into short-term, medium-term, long-term goals, and then I set my alarm and I get up and I push and I get my to-do list done every day, some things get done that didn't get done when I didn't do those things, when I just sat around and waited, okay? So that was kind of our empowerment, our optimization, our personal development era, okay, was like goal setting and getting it done. And even positive thinking with that, excuse me, to where, it, you know, when I focus on good things happening, it seems like I get there faster. Then we start moving to a higher level that begins to connect a little bit vertically. And we have this era of focus on manifestation. We have movies and books like The Secret coming out, you know, but even teachers like Catherine Pond that way predated, and the New Thought era, which was way before the mainstream message of The Secret, we're coming into a higher level of understanding of how we can move into a sense of authority about our outcomes and even engaging with this world as the energetic reality that it is that says, hey, I want this and I'm going to manifest it. Okay. Which is a huge shift from life happens to me. I have no say. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a huge shift. And it is driven by desires that come from ultimately, why do I have these passionate desires? Because somehow I'm experiencing that something's missing here.
Yes, I was going to say that lack frequency, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah. So from a place of lack, we go, you know what? I want more. We need, this needs to change. That needs to change. And this is a necessary stepping stone as we advance in human consciousness. We go through an era where we begin to engage with our power as manifestors. And I mean, that's a huge leap to engage with our personal will and our ability to focus on something and then relax and release attachment and essentially move into faith as a next step of that, just to believe and allow and then watch things show up. Okay, that's a powerful stepping stone that's really a part of the learnings of faith consciousness. It's necessary that we really go into and begin to show ourselves, even the cells in our body, that we can be cause in the outcomes that show up in our life, okay? But, you know, the formula of creation at that level is EVE, energetic vibrational exchange.
And that's what first came to you in the beginning of these teachings.
Yes, it did.
And
it
now
did.
It's evolved into faith consciousness over the years.
Yes, yeah. Which is more. So we're evolving. Our comprehension is evolving. Hopefully everyone's story.
Yeah.
Don't try to lock into that old story. Because if you do, you keep yourself stuck. And the nature of our human existence is to expand into more. We're all driven for that. Okay? And faith consciousness is even moving beyond that level of magic and miracles through manifesting our desires, okay, which part of the emission into the field that we're going to bring is not just from the conscious mind, but from the subconscious, right? Those subconscious fears and doubts and false beliefs that were programmed in at a very early age can have a bit of a shadow effect on what we bring about, because that's in the mix of our vibrational output. And then there's a place even higher. Sarah Langley, I believe is her name, who channels the council. The council had this message that says, you know, you can come to a place where you're so in alignment with the divine or your higher self or that which we call God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, whatever term symbols you use to help you connect with something that's incomprehensible, that our minds that are limited to 3D thought can't even fully fathom. But what is my bridge to the best I can engage with that which I'll never fully understand?
Mm-hmm.
When we move into a place where we use those those props to engage and just begin to merge and surrender into that alignment, we can walk in such a way that the next incredible thing shows up for us before we even got to that place of recognizing it as a need or a desire or a goal.
Before you can even think the thought.
Yes.
Yes.
Like it hasn't even been crystallized in my mind yet, and there it is.
It just shows up.
Yes.
For you.
Yes. Where, you know, a motto of that level of, if it's meant to be, it comes to me. At that highest frequency, we magnetize into us without even pursuing dreams and visions and desires and chasing those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I believe that we move through these different levels at different times. It's not like we get locked in and just stay at one place all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we can enjoy the ride and love the journey at whichever level we're at. When we move into the highest place, we can swim through the waters of every level and have a wonderful time and have a higher view of what's happening when our landing pad always goes back to that guided life, that place that says, I can trust, even when my mind can't understand yet. And that's really what faith consciousness is about. It's moving into a way of living where we are guided moment to moment, and we're generally, as our standard way of being, our go-to way, is trust, even when we don't understand it yet. That's what faith is.
Yeah, and I just got the words, get out. This is what get out of your own way means.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like there's this divine plan that we have before we come in here. But then the personality ends up taking over, right? And thinks it could has to do it this way or needs to do it that way. And I feel like this guided life that I'm coming to fall into, or I'm falling into right now, is so much easier, you know, because you're not like resisting every day. It's like an effortless manifestation.
Yeah.
Instead of having to try and wrestle it to the ground and like manipulate it over here or whatnot. And I've done that my whole life. And I've just recently let go of the reins. And I'm like, hey, just, all right, I'm moving with you. Whatever it is, I'm going to go with you. Right. But how do we reclaim trust in a divine plan when we've been deeply betrayed by people, systems, and sometimes even ourselves?
Wow.
Yeah.
So you know me personally. I don't know if your audience knows that we're personal friends. And you know that my own life for the last 5 years has been a journey of that.
Yes.
Of that. So I'll start by saying, no matter where we're at, we're not beyond life bringing us through a next, I'll call it, rite of passage. That you know, growth generally is, well, not just generally, is always going to take us out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
And sometimes going out of that comfort zone can be so far out that it's the deepest depths of suffering. Okay. And that, you know, we look at the path of Christ, that crucifixion path, which included injustice and betrayal by some of the closest inner circle beloved beings.
Yes.
Okay. As well as physical torture. Okay. So these are some of the deepest, deepest experiences of suffering that we can be exposed to. And so we've had a trail carved ahead of us, and we've been shown how to do that while engaged with the highest, how to surrender everything we thought we knew. And really, what you're talking about that. When we get betrayed by those that we trusted the most, or even ultimately come down to see self-betrayal, which ultimately is going to be the root of us seeing that in our outer world.
Oh, yeah, a mirror.
Right?
Yeah.
It is. It's going to be in our field that we are being shown from what we observe out there something that was already happening in here when we're ready to see at that deepest level. When we go through those steps, essentially we're invited into a choice. And one is, the scripture comes to my mind that says, he who clings to his life shall lose it. But he who loses his life, him or her, for my sake, will receive life eternal. Okay? So the gateway in to the infinite and all potential is letting go, losing that version of life as you knew it. That's called death. Okay? Death to that version of yourself, death to that story that you were so attached to, and in some ways in love with, even when it was a challenging story. It's a comfort zone. It's familiar. It's what we know. Mm-hmm. Letting go of that can be the hardest thing. And Tony Robbins, the success coach, says, make it not about letting go of this, but moving into that. Mm-hmm. Focus on what you're moving into, not what you're letting go of. And so when we make the choice not to cling to that life as we knew it, that story as we knew it, the security we thought we had, the faith and trust we thought we had supported by those people. Mm-hmm. And we have to let that go and say everything that I thought was real, every person I thought was true, even my own self, I can't trust. It's not real. It's not what I believed it to be. It can be crazy making at that moment. Yeah. Until you're willing to let all that go and die to that version of you, that story that you were holding, and that level of living that you were at, which then brings us into what? Being born again. At a new level that says, I trust vertically. I trust what's deep within me, and I can feel that spark of God, which I choose to believe and engage with. And when I do, that's going to be my home base when all else fails me out there. Now, what happens, Megan, is as we go through these deep, dark nights of the soul,
I've been in one for a year now.
Right? I've watched you.
Out of it right now. Yeah. Well, maybe going back into it. Not sure. I guess it's like in stages,
It is. There's waves. Waves. Until we begin to recognize it and go, ah, my old friend darkness, here it comes again. And then we begin to feel less and less terrified of it. To go, I remember this.
Yeah.
And I remember how I came through it before. And I remember how it moved me into more. When we can remind ourselves of that and remind ourselves of that in our body and remind our body mind of where our true anchor is vertically, we can begin to have a sense of peace. And begin to let go of clinging to all those things that we were so attached to, and many of which we might have manifested
through our lack frequency, right?
Well,
because of the fact that it turns bad, is that kind of what happens whenever we're manifesting from something that wasn't our true authentic path coming in, that we experience both sides of it? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. Let's, I'd like to kind of broaden it even more than that.
Okay.
Let's just say we live in a polarized realm. Some people call it duality. Mm-hmm. To be in a three-dimensional world, to incarnate into an experience where we can exercise free will, we have to have a range of potential, okay? We have good and bad. We have light and dark. We have near and far. We have young and old, okay? A linear timeline, okay, and linear space, so distance, near and far. Mm-hmm. All of these things exist in a 3D reality, and it's the only way we can be beings who are exercising free will and choice. It's a beautiful thing about this planet because we're able to look at this whole variety and choose what we like and what we don't like.
Okay.
All right? We can compare and choose. And I'm not going to make any level of manifestation wrong.
No.
We're here to grow and learn through all of that. And we can sometimes, I don't know that we can know the difference when we have a desire.
Right.
And aim for, an exciting potential. There's goodness in that, no matter what. There's goodness in that. And I don't want to turn anybody towards a fear of, oh, what if it doesn't last forever? Well, guess right. what? Nothing in this realm lasts forever. Anything that we bring forward in this tangible world is going to come and go. And that is not where we should rightly place our security. Because these things are transient. Every single part of this life is transient. The only thing that lasts is that which is beyond this 3D, that which is eternal, the source of all life. And when we allow that to be our landing pad, that to be our go-to, our status quo, that's where my security is. That's where my answers come from, even when I don't have a tangible view of what that looks like in this world. I know that I can trust what's next. And when we go into that faith frequency that is vertical, and then allow that frequency to bring in what's next materially, we're never going to get let down.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're accessing what I would say like divine logic.
Nice.
Almost, right? Nice. Like it's, yeah.
Well, if I can throw a scripture in there. Okay?
Yes,
so what
please.
You're talking about is what the Bible says, the foolishness of man is wisdom to God.
Yeah.
And the wisdom of God is foolishness to man.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
So, because we try to think our way. Well, we can't see it working this way and that way, and we want to, like, have all the, like, outcomes, right?
Yeah, and actually the other part of it is the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. Okay? Mm. So our reason and logic is not the reason and logic of the divine.
Right.
Okay? Because, you know, even as science advances and we've come into this beautiful time where our understanding in the laboratories, our understanding mathematically, our understanding of physics is now bridging into what we always saw as mystical, spiritual, religious, now they've merged. Quantum entanglement is a proven reality to where things here can be totally engaged with something far away, and they can be influencing each other. Three scientists in December of 2022 won the Nobel Prize for Physics for proving that the quantum entanglement theory is a reality, proving it as solid fact that essentially there's no objective reality that everything that we're experiencing, this is a field of energetic potential, and it gets collapsed into a tangible reality through our observation. So it's the lens we're seeing through. It's the expectations that we're holding that's causing our reality to show up as it is. So that brings us into, you know, a spiritual path or a logical living life path that ultimately says, well, per scientific evidence, if I want to change my world out there, I need to change my lens of how I'm viewing the world. So it means the cause of change is within me, not by fighting, pushing, manipulating, contriving ways that I can change what's out there. That's short term, and it's treating the symptom, not the cause.
So how would we begin to, or how would Dr. Leslie Wells guide us into beginning to change that story, that narrative within, and, you know, be able to change the identity that we've been kind of tied to? Is there a way to move into that more easy?
Yes.
Less suffering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, I would start that answer by saying what we resist, we persist.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we're pushing against anything, The Buddhists say the cause of all suffering is craving and aversion. Okay. Mm. So craving, which both has to do with a lack of consciousness. Okay. Yeah. Suffering comes from wanting something I don't have, or not wanting something that I do have in my reality, mm-hmm. in my experience. And that's how we suffer. So I was just telling a client this yesterday, folks, when life throws you into a tailspin, remember how to drive in the snow. Mm. For those who've learned, when they teach you about driving in the snow, when you hit ice and your car starts to spin out of control, what are you supposed to do?
Lean in.
Turn the wheel into the turn.
Yeah.
Like, how can that make sense? I need this car to straighten out and go straight. Don't I need to force it to try to go this other way when it's wrongly going into a spin? And the answer is turn that steering wheel into the spin as if you're choosing to spin. Mm. Oh, yeah? You want to spin? All righty then. Let's spin. In fact, that's nothing. I'm really going to make a spin, okay? You turn the steering wheel into that spin, and you gain control of that vehicle again.
Wow.
You intentionally go into what's happening, which means not only do I let go of resistance to this spin, which I wasn't planning on, and actually isn't a good thing as far as the potential outcome here, I'm going to deny all logic from this other level, mm-hmm. turn into the spin as if that's what I wanted to do. And oh my gosh, like magic, those tires, which are now turning into alignment with the direction of the vehicle, they get traction again. Mm-hmm. And now I have control of the way that I'm going. So when life starts putting you into a spin, do what seems totally counterintuitive, but remember how to take charge of your car when it's spinning on ice. Turn into it like it's on purpose. So go into the suffering. In other words, instead of spending that enormous amount of effort and energy that we tend to do to avoid and get out of suffering, go into the suffering. Most people suck at suffering.
Yes.
So when it shows
I
up.
I suck at suffering.
Go right. Okay.
That's great.
You're here and you're not just going to catch me by surprise and take over. In fact, I'm moving into you and we're really going to suffer. Okay. So when you move into that suffering energy, whatever the cause of it was, the ultimate outcome is that way you feel inside, that awful way of fear, of uncertainty, of those depths of feelings that we get when a beloved has deeply betrayed us and what we thought was true was not.
I was going to say, let's give a real live example here, like betrayal. The husband, you found out he's doing something behind your back.
Right.
You leave. Is that me going deeply into it because I left the situation, or is it deeper than that?
It's deeper. So it's not about what you do, but how and why you do it.
Okay.
Okay. So what's my internal state? So if I leave because I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Yeah. And I feel like a victim and I want to hurt them back. And this is my retaliation. And in fact, I'm going to go online and trash this person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We increase our suffering in a victimized way. We increase our disempowerment. But there are steps that we can't avoid. Okay. We need to go from total victimhood. Vibrationally, anger and revenge are higher steps than victimhood. Yeah. The question is, how quick can I move out of those feelings and thoughts without trying to move out of those feelings and thoughts? The way to do it is to go into it hard, don't resist it at all, and then the next will come, and the next will come, and the next will come. In other words, the next higher frequency will come. we will get out of depression a lot faster if we grab onto that moment of anger that came.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of guilting ourselves for being angry and going back into depression, we could stay in that depression for ages. If that anger starts to come, grab hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve better than this.
Right.
Okay, go into that. And then if you go into that fully and really engage with just the experience of anger in yourself, you're going to transmute that energy pretty quickly to where you begin to move more into higher and higher frequencies that move you into neutrality.
What's next on the scale above anger?
It depends on which one you're looking at.
Yeah.
But, you know, but you'll move eventually into a place of peace.
It's kind of like the collapse, like you talk about.
Yes.
From
yeah.
Dr.
You'll
John.
You'll neutralize yeah. that. And then you can move into, it's only a couple steps above anger to move into hope.
Mm.
And at hope, we begin to have a vision.
Mm.
For the future, we begin to feel encouraged within ourselves. Instead of below that, it's all pretty discouraged. Actually, anger is the most potent frequency of change. It's the emotion that can bring about the most radical change.
Yeah, motivation, determination right. is behind it.
Yeah. So your question was about, okay, how do I navigate this when I've hit the rocks, when I've skid into that tailspin in life?
Yeah.
And first of all, I would say go into it instead of trying to avoid it. Anytime an emotion starts to come, find it as a gift. Go, wait, I have to stop everything and feel what this is. And if you can't stop in that moment, as soon as you're able, try to find that feeling again and call it back to you. That negative feeling, those tears, that upset. Go into it.
Do you like ask yourself why I'm feeling this feeling or
no? But if there are thoughts,
face it.
Feel it. Feel it. You have to feel it to heal it.
Oh.
So first, just feel the energy. And you know what? That energy is not personalized. You might go, well, here's my reason.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go into that feeling, if you just go fully into the feeling, you might end up having memories of all the other times I've felt this way.
Hmm.
All the other times. When else have I felt like this? It could take you all the way back to early childhood. I remember that time.
Hmm.
Dad promised me that he was going to pick me up and take me to that movie or go to that ball game, and he didn't show up. Go back and let that frequency go all the way into the deepest roots of your memories that it can take you to.
Mm.
Now you're getting something powerful, right? Feel those unprocessed emotions, any remnants from all of your existence that's attached to that frequency.
Mm.
And go into it. Feel it fully. Face it on. Invite it in and say, show me what else you got. Bring it more. This is turning into the spin. Then it's amazing. When you go into that intentionally and you're not trying to get out of it and you're not feeling like a victim of it hitting you and you're going, oh, welcome. I see that you've shown up. Let's see where we can go with this. Thank you. Now you're in charge.
Mm.
Okay. Then you're doing suffering. And the energy transmutes.
Wow.
And something higher emerges. And you're not a victim of that anymore. And as you do that stepping up and up and up every time, and you train yourself and develop those neural pathways whose go-to is, I don't resist this. In fact, I celebrate this, even though the wisdom of man says, you're a fool. That's insane. What are you doing? Why would you choose suffering? It's a conscious way of navigating, going into it and saying, I have nothing to fear here.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to do suffering. Oh, I'm not afraid of that. Then we move more and more into a place of faith and lack of fear because we're comfortable navigating all that. We're not spending our life trying to avoid that stuff.
Yeah.
So we're able to move into higher places of navigating life. And in those higher places comes our heaven on earth.
Yeah. Right? And that's what you're teaching us to.
Yes.
That's the main, I think that's the main teaching message through of faith consciousness is teaching us to be able to live heaven on earth.
Yes.
Not just when we die and, you know. And
heaven is here. Heaven is now. Believe it or not. Okay. It's the lens that has to be changed for us to get to that experience. And it is available here like no place else in the universe.
And that leads me to my next question. Why now? Why is the world ready for faith consciousness? I just got emotional and I just got chills.
Stop it. See? Exactly.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
The world and you and me. Okay. Because it's time. It's time. We've been on an evolutionary journey from the beginning of creation, from the beginning of this world, from the beginning of this time-space reality, this linear time-space reality. There have been three eras, okay? Actually, we've just stepped into the third. Mm. And it takes thousands of years for human consciousness to move up and up and up to a readiness for an entirely new level of experience, okay? The first one was called polarity consciousness. We stepped into that. Our metaphor, our allegory, our parable or real story begins in the Garden of Eden.
You got to bring them here.
Okay?
Now.
The Garden of Eden. You have Adam and Eve, you have humanity, male and female, partaking of the fruit of knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Mm.
Okay? So the forbidden fruit, and it needed to be forbidden because we needed to dive into this feeling of consequence. Okay, it's all part of the plan. No one was a victim here, not even God. Okay, mm-hmm. We partook and consumed and brought into ourselves through that consumption the knowledge of good and evil. That's stepping into a polarized reality on purpose. I call it the dive, not the fall.
Mm.
Okay, as souls. In agreement with the source of all life, we came here to expand consciousness. God itself flowing through these bodies, perceiving ourselves as individuals and separate, came here to expand through this journey. And it started with consuming and imbibing upon and bringing into even our cellular experience in the physical body a sense of good versus bad, pain versus pleasure is the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Wow.
So that whole first era, we were like infants navigating what is called polarity consciousness, where we feel powerless, life happens to me, and we feel like victims.
Yeah.
And deepest, and that consciousness still exists and always will. We will have moments where we hit into, I feel like a freaking victim. Yeah. How can I possibly think that I'm empowered in this situation? We're always going to have times and always the potential to move into that. The question is, how long are we going to wallow in that?
Right.
How quickly, as we evolve, we've got the skills to come into something else. Okay, mm-hmm. But at the level of polarity, which is there for all of us any given day, is the triangle that keeps us in this dense consciousness. And that triangle is victim, villain, and hero rescuer. And that rescuer might be your religion. might be your spouse or that next baby. It's the thing that we see that's going to make everything right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that triangle is like the foundations of life at that level of polarity consciousness. But over thousands of years, like, why didn't the Savior come in 10 minutes or in 5 days or 50 years? Why does the Old Testament document thousands of years between the Garden of Eden and the coming of Christ? Well, humanity over that time was evolving. And the more we suffer over time and we remember our own suffering, suffering has gifts. Suffering leads to compassion.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Humility, empathy. And ultimately, we begin to remember our own pain when we see it in that person's face. And gosh, I kind of hurt myself when I see them hurting.
Yeah.
That's a higher frequency. And when we had existed and experienced that much suffering and memory, we became ready to move into something more with that compassion is the beginning of the opening of the heart. And that is when we moved into the second era called Christ consciousness.
Which is the New Testament?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just the New Testament, but is the era that the New Testament depicts.
That's why it was so different, though.
So different. Yeah. Like in complete contradiction. Like, yeah. How can these two things be in the same book? And by the way, this journey is definitely not contained within any particular religion. It's universal. Hmm. And it exists for us all, whether we know it or not, and whether we place this story on it or that story on it, we're actually coming into this third era where all the stories are going to merge and all the things that have separated us are going to dissolve. But that second era, yes, is portrayed by the New Testament. And this is where you have an entirely different message in that same Bible book that's in complete contradiction to all those rules and laws of the Old Testament. Stone them to death, slaughter every man, woman, child, and animal, burn the land, salt the earth so it can't reproduce. It's about vengeance and godly men having lots of wives and thousands of concubines just to have sex with. How do we go from that to you must only have one partner?
Right.
Okay? Because consciousness has evolved, and we are now in that second era available and ready to engage with more intimacy. Intimacy with ourselves, intimacy with another, and intimacy with a God within. Jesus, come into my heart. We go into a new opportunity to invite God into an up-close and personal experience in that second era. Christ consciousness says God isn't just that way distant thing out there that I have to make sacrifices and offerings to try to bridge to somehow, who's angry and is going to stone us to death if we get it wrong. Now we've moved into an era of grace, of compassion,
forgiveness,
and oneness.
Yeah.
Oneness, where Jesus said that the villagers were ready to stone to death as the law was, the law of God, this adulterous woman. Mm-hmm. They were all ready to do the right thing and follow the law and do what they're commanded to do. And Jesus said, hang on. You know,
one of my favorite parts.
You who hasn't screwed it up.
Yeah.
You who hasn't missed the mark.
Yeah.
You who hasn't gone off target.
Yeah.
You throw the first stone. And they all looked at each other. They all knew that their neighbor knew at least that one thing that they messed up.
They're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. So, and it says the oldest ones started putting their stones down first. The wiser, more experienced ones, and who've had more time to mess things up.
Wow.
Right? Put their stones down first, and then ultimately everyone walked away. And this was the introduction of oneness, because they're going, you're no different than her.
Right.
just like you and I were talking in the car about a, you know, a tragic situation for you where you could potentially be judging and condemning someone else. And then you said, yeah, but I look at myself.
Yeah.
And I have to now see, that's a high level of consciousness evolution that you're being in when you begin to own, am I that different than that person?
Right.
Right. That's the era of Christ consciousness. That's at the lowest level of that era. We start with what we call forgiveness, which is judgment and condemnation.
Still.
Oh, yeah. You're judged. You're condemned. Yeah. You should never have done that. You are wrong. And by the way, you owe me. Okay. It's an indebtedness. You owe me big time. Okay. And to forgive them is to release that debt in your mind. Okay, that's at the lowest level of Christ consciousness. As we evolve to the higher end of Christ consciousness, there is no forgiveness because there's no sense of condemnation. You are wrong and I am right, but I'll forgive you, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like when I lost my cat to that tragic situation, I was able to like, the very next day, it was like, okay, yeah, this is awful. She should have, like, checked the dryer or whatnot. But it's like, I was able to come to a place where I said, well, what was my part in this? And my part was, did I really need her to come over and help me that day? I didn't. And, you know, I just was being lazy and wanted someone to come help me, right? So it's like, I was still able to find my part in it. And how I attracted it and like how it went down.
Okay,
you know,
why don't we work with that for just a minute?
Sure.
Okay, because I just want to encourage, coach you a little bit.
Sure.
Okay, with this, because at that level, you're still holding blame and condemnation, and now you're turning it into yourself.
Oh.
I'm to blame. I was lazy. It's my fault. Okay.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's so, okay.
So then what's the next level there? Like, what would I have?
Okay, so instead of blame and condemnation, you know.
For the, myself, the, that is,
yes,
too. Yeah.
Moving it from her.
To me.
Some people could move it to God.
Oh, yeah, I've done that. I did that.
Damn you, God. How dare
you
do this to me? To life itself.
Yeah.
Okay?
I did that.
And be a victim. You know, a victim. Or then we can stand up and just condemn and blame and be angry at God.
Yeah.
Or angry at myself. It's all my fault. There's still blame and condemnation,
yeah.
Okay, no matter which way you're pointing it.
And faith consciousness kind of sees that it was all part of the plan.
Well.
So there is no blame.
Actually, Christ consciousness sees that it's part of a plan.
Oh.
So understand, polarity consciousness says, life happens to me.
Okay.
There's no plan here. It's all random and I'm a total victim. I have no power. Okay.
Right.
Christ consciousness says, I'm still powerless, but there is a plan. Okay. And that says life happens for me.
Okay.
Somehow that, you know, where people say everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never liked that.
I know. And a lot of people don't. So it's a stepping stone, but we can say, okay, everything happens for a reason, a higher plan. Life happens for me. I hate that this has happened. I am devastated that this has happened. But I also surrender that somehow there's a higher plan here.
Yeah.
That somehow all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Okay. My heart acknowledges that, here we go, I am a spiritual being having a human experience, not the other way around. I'm not a human as who my truest self is. I'm not a human being having a spiritual experience. I'm an eternal being. That in the Bible, God says, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you.
Hmm.
I existed before I came here. I'm a spiritual, eternal being having a human experience. And this that's going on here is a transient experience I'm having, but it's not really who I am, and it's not really where I'm ultimately going to live. My living is beyond this. I am beyond this. And my truest reality is actually beyond this. In fact, I'm beginning to believe those physicists that won that award that say everything is energy and it's infinite potential realities that's being collapsed into a perceived illusion that we feel is an experience because we feel like these bodies are real, even though they're empty space. They're energy, okay? So when I can begin to bridge that says, yes, I'm feeling this body, I'm seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling through this body, and yet I know that this is transient and essentially it's not really what's truest and real. Mm. I'm living in the matrix. And that thing that happened is a part of that. Even that beloved being that I just lost, tragically. Do we bypass the experience of the pain? No. That's why Jesus demonstrated before the crucifixion, he came and said, Lord, he sweated blood.
Yeah.
Blood came out of his pores. He had so much stress with the fear and the devastation of what was to come, knowing the suffering ahead of him, and said, if there's a way, let this cup be lifted from me. I don't want this.
Yeah.
Okay? He demonstrated first feeling the feeling, feeling the vulnerability of our humanity.
Oh, yeah.
Don't bypass those emotions because that energy will get locked in your body and be an anchor holding you down.
To keep experiencing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Feel it, process it, go into it. And then once you've done that, he said, but thy will be done, not my will, but thy will. So he then moved his eyes and focus from this world, from himself as this human being, to himself as that eternal consciousness that is God embodied.
Wow.
That says, I merge with that. And my loyalty is to the invisible.
Mm.
Even though this thing that's visible has just crushed me.
Wow.
Go into the crush. Turn into the spin. Process that energy. And then surrender to something more that says, even though I don't understand it, something more is happening here. Something more. And let that be your next highest landing pad. You'll bounce back down into, and don't avoid it. Yeah. It's like the waves of grief. You'll bounce back down, feel it, process the energy, engage with it, and then surrender into that higher knowing. And it will answer. Because that's like you knocking, and the door will be open. Ask. Ask for the faith. And you'll rise to that next place. So when you talked about turning the condemnation to yourself,
mm-hmm.
your next higher step is to move into the Christ consciousness statement, life happens for me. Even though this sucks beyond belief, somehow I know there's a higher plan. Something else is there for me, and I choose to believe in that. You'll be met.
Oh, yeah. I've experienced that.
Right? Again, the forces of heaven will reach down to you and support you at that next level.
Yeah, I realized that, like, it had to happen, or it wouldn't have. It happened because it had to break the illusion in me that I was
creating every single thing, right? And that nothing was organized, right?
So kind of the gift of humility, because you know what?
Thank you.
When we feel like we've got all the answers at one level, we will not expand beyond that.
Right.
We stay stuck.
So I had to
at that level.
So it had to like break my heart so wide open that I could not even understand how I could have created this because I didn't.
Right.
And like
you died to that version of you.
Yeah.
Which then surrenders to what next? To the unknown, right? And that's where we begin to move into.
Which got me on this path.
Yes.
What I'm doing right now is sitting here with you. I would have never done it, right?
The guided path, yes. The trusting, like I don't even have all the answers and I don't understand it, but I'm trusting what I don't understand. Then you're moving into faith consciousness.
Right.
Into the alignment with divine. And also where Christ consciousness's life happens for me. At the top of that, there's no more forgiveness. There's no more condemnation.
Wow.
We move then into faith consciousness, which is I am a vessel that life happens through. And then there's different levels of that understanding.
Well, Leslie, I know we're running out of time. There's so much to talk about with faith consciousness. And I was wondering if you could maybe do a little channeled message for the collective. To leave us today.
I'd be happy to do that.
That would be amazing. Yeah. I wanted to show the world, you know, how she can tune in here and.
Okay.
Here we go.
Water is an electrical conduit. It just helps us be ready for that energy to move through. So just take a deep breath in. Let it out slowly, just intending to tune in. Feel your heart. I'm going to speak some sounds that sound like a spiritual language for a moment. Some call it light language, tongues of angels. Nia sikia nai nai nai. Nakoa lakia satantante. Shukua, 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 shukua. The message for the masses right now, for those that are watching this show at any time, the word that's coming is peace. Peace. Amongst apparent chaos, be reminded that there's more than what meets the eye. And this reality is going through a powerful, powerful transition. And there is rhyme and reason to the apparent chaos that you are witnessing and experiencing. Understand that through this, you are never alone. There is more to come where you are going to see, born out of what is tragic to witness and experience in this world right now, there is invisible force moving through that is reorganizing that which seems chaos into a much, much higher level of order, of consciousness, and ultimately peace. On earth. So reach for that peace within yourself, even when what you're observing looks horrifying. Feel the feelings and then go within and ready yourself for the peace. It will meet you there. Just be aware that it exists and it will meet you there. Thank you.
Thank you. So where can everybody find you, Leslie? And do you have any events coming up for Faith Consciousness?
We actually do. Yeah, right. We actually do.
Awesome.
And, you know, I do have some glasses. So here in the near future, the next Faith Consciousness retreat is Saturday, November the 15th. This is in the series of three, which is polarity consciousness, Christ consciousness, and faith consciousness. So this one is highlighting the divine masculine and polarity consciousness. It's foundational. And that's from 2 to 6 p.m., November the 15th at Heartlight Spiritual Center in Charlotte. It is also broadcast online, $140. And those who are coming in online at $70. Okay. Also, three free introductory talks are happening prior to that on September 22nd, October 1st, and October 26th mm-hmm. at different venues in Charlotte. Go to faithconsciousness.com to get the details, and you can register there and learn about it more. Thank you for having me. It's
Thank you for coming. I love you so much, and I will be at the Faith Consciousness second event.
Awesome.
So thank you so much for everything and all you're bringing through, and I love you.
Bless you on this journey of being a voice to the world for spirit moving through this podcast. Really a beautiful thing that you've moved into, and thanks for having me on.
Couldn't have done it without you. Thank you.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. You're going to love this one.